tomorrow, this topic itself, as you're probably beginning to see, the question of whether one dying is okay, a level of minatoru or not, it's got its own implications, but as you're probably perceiving, it ties into larger issues about how Beis Din works and why Beis Din is built the way it is, and that's why it's kind of an entry point into a lot of other issues, which is why it takes a little while to go through all the issues. So yesterday we started off with a somewhat lengthy introduction to the whole question of the mitzvah of Tzedek Tishvot Anisacha, and what we saw there is that we referred to some notes of the Sefer Gidrei Mishpat, that there probably are two components of the mitzvah, that there is the din itself, and then there is the idea that the din will be implemented, and that it's the Beis Din's responsibility to not only think about the issue, but to also contribute to the shalom of the world by having a din that's actually going to materialize. So when we had discussed, drawing on our earlier discussions, the question of what exactly is the role of three, so we noted that this kind of correlates to possible either purpose, that either three helps us to have a more accurate din, and why that's necessary here as opposed to other areas of halacha is a question we decide for a moment, or does it have to do with the complexity of getting two warring parties to follow through with what you say, and therefore perhaps it's about the second part of the mitzvah, making sure the din is actually going to be implemented, and maybe then it correlates to some degree to kfiyah, to needs of coercion or related ideas. So we left off yesterday by noting that there is what seems to be a little bit of a steerer, maybe a major steerer, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the truth is it's more explicit of a steerer in the Rambam. And that is our Gemara in Daf Gimel Aleph. So the Gemara has a machlokes, whether or not on a Daraisa level could we be satisfied with one dayan. And the opinion of Rav Acha Breid Ravika is that yes, Minatorah chad kosher, but midrabanan we ask for three because of Yoshvei Kronos, which sounds like it means simple interpretation that there are people who just sit around on street corners and we don't know if they're going to know anything, so we're afraid that if we just go to the first random person, that might be who we get. So if we have three, so says the Gemara, that's going to be better. And the Gemara asks, Altu Batwasa, Milhavi Yoshe Kronos, what? Three people is immune from all problems of Yoshe Kronos? So says the Gemara, no, it's not, they're not immune. But when you have three, so Yef Shed Lefu Chad Degomer. So then it's not so likely that you're not going to have one who is not knowledgeable. Okay, so then the Gemara goes on to say that what's the practical ramifications of this machlokas? So the Gemara says that we have a statement of Shmuel, Bamer Shmuel, Shnaim Shadonu, Dinehem Din, that if two judge, their din is still effective, Elish Nikrol, Bezdin, Chatzav, but that they are considered to be a brazen Bezdin, however you want to translate that, and we'll come back to that point. So that halacha, that statement of Shmuel, the Rava, less than the Shmuel, that if Rava maintains you need three Manat Torah, so then two is no good. Rav Acha Breid Ravika, Isle Shmuel. Rav Acha holds that you could theoretically have one, just it's a takanat rabbanan to have three, so then maybe you could also get away with two. Tamir?
Wouldn't it be weird to get somebody off the street? Why don't you just go to the base manager, the place where you assume the people who are there are learned, as opposed to just, oh, pick up somebody off the street? But then, yeah, of course.
That's a fair question. It's definitely a fair question, and presumably it also has to do with the fact that maybe there's some level of unclarity as to who exactly people are, and that maybe you have a group of friends and you hope that they can help you resolve your issue, and that once you've already decided you don't need smoothness, so then you feel you can turn to three. But these three, or this one, you might go to, maybe he's not so learned halachically, so seemed like a reasonable guy to resolve your dispute, but maybe he doesn't know the basics of kosher mishpat. So if you go to three people, of course somebody's going to know. You can't hit three people in the streets of New York. Well, okay, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But you know, it's a little bit also a question of just how low the bar here, what exactly we're talking about. But once you add more people to the mix, it seems like there's more likely to be the possibility that somebody is going to be knowledgeable enough. All right, you had a
I guess this is getting to the question of how are those judges appointed that the Gemara's man, how are Hedyot appointed? They are Samai leaders, or are they the people are pushing them into Hedyot judge positions, or is you choose one person on the street, I choose one person on the street, or something?
Okay, so that's a fair question. Presumably somewhere in the middle. So, and we see there are also different types of panels, so we'll have to come back to that point. But this question, so this relationship here, the Gemara clearly ties one into the other. If you hold one is good min haTorah, then two could also be good. If you hold that you need three min haTorah, then two could not be good. So we saw this raised as an issue on the Sma, and the truth is it's first an issue on the Rambam. That the Rambam really seems hard to read as far as this is concerned. If you're used to it, the Rambam has statements like this all the time, where the Rambam, you know, half the Shirim of the Rambam are about figuring out why he has a lineup that doesn't accord with the lineup of the Gemara, so this is the kind of problem we're very used to with the Rambam. But what does the Rambam say in Perek Beis Halacha Yud? Afal pi she'ein bezdin pachos mishlosha, mutter lecha vladim min haTorah. That even though there's no bezdin min haTorah, less than three, but even though there's no bezdin less than three, let's say it that way, still it's permissible min haTorah for one to judge. And then Amar b'tzedek tishpo tamisecha. When we divrei sofer ma'ad shiyushlosha. But with Rabbanan you need to have three. Okay, so what should the conclusion be about two, according to the Gemara?
That's allowed.
That's allowed. Oh, shnayim shadanu, ein dinei him din. So the Rambam, as he often does, seems to not follow the lineup the way the Gemara had presented. So that's an issue that the Rishonim struggled with, the Meiri, and the Ran, if you saw, they express quite amazement at this. And they're also, as the Ran points out, where's the Raivan on this? Right? We expect the Raivan to jump on him every time he says something that's remotely questionable. So here the Raivan seems okay with this. The Raivan doesn't have any critique here. So what exactly is the Rambam getting at? It's a good question. There are a few suggestions that you find. So the Ran himself, for example, suggests that maybe there's a difference between the Rambam and the way the Gemara understands the idea of three, the takana of three, which, say, Rav Acha's statement of there being a takana of three, so the Rambam differs with him on that point. That he agrees that min haTorah one is good, but he differs with Rav Acha as to the nature of the takana. That according to the view as presented in the Gemara, the takana is basically the chachilu. That we should try to get three because we're worried otherwise we don't have a good panel. We don't have even a good one on the panel. But lemaisa, if you don't, it's okay. So you have somebody judging. So that should be enough. Because that satisfies the din min haTorah. While the Rambam apparently holds that the takana of three is also b'di'evet. That if you don't follow this takana of three, then you don't have din, and that was the scope of the takanas chazal. Okay, it's one possibility. The Or Sameach, if you take a look over here, the Or Sameach has a completely different understanding. And he taps into an important question here, which we'll probably talk more about tomorrow because it's a major discussion in the whole sugya of Dayan Yechidi. What is the requirement min haTorah of this one Dayan? Can he be anyone? Or does he have to be a Samuch? Does he have to be a Mumcha? So it could be that the Rambam, and maybe there are indications along this direction which we'll have to see, that maybe the Rambam holds he has to be a Samuch. So then, the takana of three is a function of Shlichus Sayu, as we'll discuss more in a minute. During the Bechinas last week, so one comment that I heard from a few people when I asked, what would you like to hear more about or have more explanation about, so a number of people mentioned they want to hear more about Shlichus Sayu. So, the get your wish, because it's a very enmeshed in this sugya, so today and tomorrow we will add a little bit more about Shlichus Sayu. So that ties into this point that it could be that min haTorah you need one Samuch. And because of Shlichus Sayu, so we allow, okay, a panel of three who are not smooth. But if you have less than three, so then you don't have the Shlichus Ayu. The Shlichus Ayu is contingent on following through the whole way, so you need to have three. And then the Or Sameach, in that context, he rereads the Gemara, that he says that the idea of Yoshvei Kronos, this is relevant to your questions about, and Tamir's question about how could you end up with random people on the street corner. So the Or Sameach says that's not what we're talking about. So it doesn't mean Yoshvei Kronos in the sense of street corners. It means far-flung people. He has different ways to read what Kronos could mean. It really conveys something else. However, you get to that conclusion that it means people who are far away, and that the nature of the point is that we're talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's what we mean. People who are Yoshev in the faraway corners, in the faraway edges. So in Eretz Yisrael, we have Smuchin. So you could have one Samuch Bidon. But because not all the Dayanim in the world are in Eretz Yisrael, not all the Dayanim have Smicha, some of them are Yoshev Kronos, or Yoshev Tzos, however he wants to read it, those who are far away. So therefore, we need Shlichus Ayu for them, and that's going to require three. And the reason we also want to have three as part of Shlichus Ayu is we want to get, that's the next line of the Gemara, we want to make sure to get at least one knowledgeable person on the town. So that way, the Or Sameach really rereads the whole Gemara, but also could explain how the Rambam could have both in him. That Minha Torah, okay, you have one Samuch, then fine, you can be done. But once we're coming on to Shlichus Ayu, then you need three, and less than three is no good. Two is no good. Okay, so far so good? Yes, sir.
Yoshvei Kronos, according to him, means someone without smicha, or...
Well, it leads to that, but the translation of the term, he means he offers alternative readings to the word, but the basic point is that it doesn't mean people sitting on the street corner, like Tamir was asking, you know, how random are we going to be when we're going around asking people, but rather it means that people who are sitting, who are settled in faraway places, so faraway could mean outside of Eretz Yisrael, places where there's no smicha. So if everyone in the world had access to Dayanim with smicha, we could say, okay, you only need one Dayan, let's always keep that up as the halacha. But because it's not the case, there are people who are dealing with non-smuchim, so we have to have a tachana of three, and that's what we mean by Yoshvei Kronos. Hi.
Could you explain how the Ran explains the Rambam?
So the Ran said that maybe there's a difference between the Rambam and the Gemara and Hachanami. So the fact that, as we mentioned, this kind of question we have in the Rambam often, right? That the Rambam deviates from the tzlius of the Gemara. This is a very, very common issue. So many Shir Klolis are based on this and trying to figure out how the Rambam can make sense without the Gemara. So, basically, when you have that kind of question, so you have two different tracks of issues. One issue is, one, why does he not follow the layout the Gemara gives us? And two, okay, so we can already tolerate the fact that Rambam has a certain degree of independence from the Gemara, but at least what's his internal spark? So these answers basically are going to have to be on that second level. But okay, the fact that he is deviating from the way the Gemara says the game should play out, okay, we've seen that before. But what is his logic then? So if the Gemara says that assuming a Doraisa possibility of one should mean you should also be okay with two, and the Rambam says differently, the Rambam says, assuming a Doraisa of one, you still can't be okay with two. How could you understand that? So the Ran says, it's because he's talking about on a level Midrabanan. But on a level Midrabanan, it's Ma'akev. It's Afilu B'dievet. The Gemara is assuming that the Tekhan of Rabbanan is L'chafilu. That don't sit down to be done until you have three, but if you did, okay, L'maisa Mahatari still have that one. But the Rambam is understanding more. The Rambam is saying, no, we're not even going to accept your psak if it's coming from a panel of less than three, because Midrabanan, that's what we said. We can't allow any types of panels that are not going to follow the three minimum. Which is interesting to explore a little bit, why it should be one and why it should be the other. Why would you say that the takana should be b'dieve? Why would you say it should be l'chafila? It's worth considering a little bit. In general, there is a discussion about the impact of Dinim Drabanan on Dinim Daraisa, which is also a great Sunday topic for our overall rabbinic authority topics. Maybe we'll get to that one of these upcoming Sundays. But it's a discussion in general. So let's say, for example, you have a mitzvah in a Torah to make Kiddush. And that means, just say, Zachar Shema Shabbos Akadsho, according to the minimalist view in the Rishon. And to make Kiddush on wine, and to make Kiddush Mokum Suda, that's a Din Drabanan. So what happens if I make Kiddush without wine and without Makom Suda? So I'm not fulfilling the Din D'Rabbanan, but do I say I at least fulfill the Din Matan Torah? So that's a big discussion. And again, maybe we'll come back to that on a Sunday because it's a huge topic, but it's a question in general. Do Takanas D'Rabbanan essentially replace the Din Matan Torah and doesn't really function on any level anymore? Or do we say that no, it's a Lechafila, this is the way you're supposed to do it? So it's interesting to wonder about that question in general, and also to wonder about how it would apply here. Is there a reason to say one way or the other? Basically, what are we worried about? Are we worried that your dion should be done in an efficient fashion, an effective fashion, with at least one qualified person? Or are we worried even after the fact, that once you have a psak, that psak might be tainted if there was not three on the panel, and therefore we're not going to accept that psak because if nothing ever happened? So that's essentially a question to consider. So this question is really compelling in the Rambam because the Rambam puts these two sentences right together in a very clear way, so forcing the question. But yesterday we mentioned that the question is a little bit less forced, but perhaps there as well, in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch rules Ein Bezdin Pachos Mishlosha. And there it's the Sma who assumes that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about in the level Midrabbanan. That min haTorah one would be enough, and midrabanan, so we say just one. We say you have to have three. So then again, you have the same question. Ask the Shach, well, wait a minute, what about the fact that the conclusion should then be that two are also acceptable? And yet the Shulchan Aruch says two is not acceptable. Same question you have on the Rama. And the Shach also asks, that we've seen a few times the Gemara in the end of Gittin, which talks about the importance of Shlichusayu. So it sounds like we can only have din because of Shlichusayu nowadays in the context of Hodos V'Hodos. And there it sounds like the Shlichusayu is needed to replace not just the smuchim that we don't have, but also to address the fact that we need to have three smuchim. Sounds like it's there to address both things. So, according to Rav Acha, you can have one in that Torah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. So what's the whole role of Shlichusayu over there? So again, this prompts the question, what exactly is Shlichusayu doing? What do we need Shlichusayu for? So, this is an issue that was a matter of debate between the Ksosim and Sivus, like so many things. Just like the Rambam will often deviate from the Kliyas of the Gemara, the Ksosim and Sivus will always argue on each other, just about everything. So they argue on this also. So what's the point of Shlichusayu if you could have one Dayan in HaTorah? So according to the Nesivus, this also goes to the question of a Mumka. That Rav Acha says you can be okay with one Dayan, but he needs that one dying to be a samuch. So therefore, we would need Shlichusayu even according to Rav Acha nowadays. Because his minimalist position of one dying still is more than we can accomplish because we don't have any smuch. While the Ksos, if you recall this position we've mentioned a few times, the Ksos says the whole point of Shlichusayu is there for kfir. Is there to coerce the conclusion. But the din itself, we don't need Shlichusayu for necessarily. So therefore, it's okay. It could be that min haTorah you only need one dayan. And nowadays we still need Shlichusayu because we need to be able to affect the kfiyah component. So this seems to correlate to different positions of the Ksos and the Nesivus that we see throughout. For example, you find that the question is asked in terms of the status of the Bezdin nowadays. A Bezdin, in our context, which is operating through Shlichus Sayyid. So how much is that considered to be a real Bezdin? And this really taps into the question also of what exactly is happening in a panel of one. Let's say you were to have one dying paskin. So what's happening in that context? So let's say you have one dying paskin, and somebody, one of the litigants, is modeh. Right, so we know that we have a halacha of modeh b'knas, we have a halacha, or more practically, let's say nowadays, of modeh b'mitzvahs. Right, that if you have two people who are fighting over something, I say Aryeh owes me $100, and he says he owes me nothing. So fine, I have to prove he owes me the $100. But if I say he owes me $100, and he says it was only 50, so that's called modeh b'mitzvahs. And that, for a number of reasons, that creates an obligation for him to now further defend his position through a shvuah. He has to take an oath. So, in this context, without the Bezdin of Smuchim, is the Hodah significant? Do we still have the halacha of modeh b'mitzvahs? So the Ksos says no, because it's not really a real Bezdin. It's basically just getting a psak. Like you get a psak from a rav on everything. And the Nesiva says, no, what's the point of that? So then you could just go on forever having somebody flip back and forth and say something and take it back, and he'll say something and take it back. How's the Bezdin ever supposed to function? So you have to assume that we have the status of the Bezdin, that the Shlichus Sayyid was affected to create the status of the Bezdin that's going to have a status, going to have an impact when somebody is molded in front of it. And they can't just change their mind back and forth. So the machlokas here seems to be, is Shlichus Sayyid creating a real Bezdin? Or does the Bezdin not really need Shlichus Sayyid to issue a psak? It only needs it for the purposes of kfir. And then again, the Ksos is basically telling us that it is kfir that needs Shlichus Sayyid. But Bezdin functions without it. And the Nesivus is saying, no, Shlichus Sayyid is what leads to the Bezdin. And then, once you have that, so then you have all the rules of Bezdin operating. Okay? So, that affects a few other issues as well, including the issue that we mentioned when we first talked about Shlichus Sayyid, the central question. Is Shlichus Sayyid a din min haTorah or a din midrabban? So the Nesivus addresses this in Siman Aleph. If you recall, we mentioned this Nesivus before. That a lot of the Rishonim seem to imply that Shlichus Sayyid is an institution midrabban. And that seems to be consistent with the idea that we have of the Gemara emphasizing Yilas Delas. That we're afraid that if we don't allow Bezdin to function in Hodos and Ovos, like our Gemara says over here, right, if we don't allow a contemporary Bezdin to function without all the rules of classical Bezdin, then people aren't going to lend money, like we talked about in our Prisbol context. And because we want to prevent that, so we allow a panel of lesser stature. So it sounds like that's a din midrabanan. Right? It sounds like that's not an actual manifestation of Torah, but rather a takana midrabanan. So it says in the Nesivus, yeah, it does sound like that, but he thinks nonetheless that Shlichus Sayyid is an institution in the Torah. Why? Because, and we'll get into this a little bit more, that we're going to have problems in terms of certain dinim the fact that, let's say, Bezdin nowadays can do Geirus. So if we assume, and this was an issue that was dealt with by the Rishonim, if we assume that Geirus requires a real Bezdin, so how does Bezdin function nowadays for the purposes of Geirus? So would we go so far as to say that it's only Midrabanan, that we can only accept Geirim on a level Midrabanan? So a Ger can't make Kiddush for a non-Ger, is that the case? And a Ger gets married, so then his wife is only married to him on a level Midrabanan. And somebody else offers her Kesef Kiddushin, she might be married to the second one. It doesn't seem so plausible. And so it's hard to believe that Geirus functions only a level Midrabanan. So this was an issue that we mentioned. The Rashba, Yavamas, others deal with this. Tosfos deals with this. How do we allow Geirus to operate nowadays? But one possibility is to say that if you believe Shlichus Ayahu works on a level Minhag Torah, so then we shouldn't have a problem. We should say, okay, so then that's a Kiyulu. We have the full Bezdin, and that should be enough. So some of the Rishonim have other answers to this question, feel that it's possible to accept Geirim on a level Mahatorah without having to have the full stature of a Bezdin Sefulchim. But you could also say like this, like the Nesivus is saying that maybe it's an institution Mahatorah, and it therefore carries with it everything that a Bezdin is able to do. But nonetheless, we still find limits, right? We still find that Chazal don't tell us to use it all the time. So we mentioned that it's only used for Davar Shabamomo. It's not used for Knas. We find that it's only used for things that are common, for things that are Shia. So here too, it's only invoked because of this concern of Nilas Delas. So all of these make it sound like a Drabanan. So that says the Nesivus that, yeah, Chazal are given the authority to determine when to use it, but the tool, the etzem, is a tool d'oraisa. So, therefore, it comes out that with this tool, according to the Ksos, you essentially have a Bezdin functioning in full capacity. That the Bezdin is there to actually do everything that a Bezdin is capable of doing. While the Ksos is going to disagree, the Ksos later on disagrees, and understands that we're dealing with the Rabbanans. It's interesting, the Ksos discusses, this is also a topic we'll have to get into a little bit more, that it's Machlokis in the Gemara, that the Gemara says, we sometimes talk about nowadays, Yesh Koach B'dei Chachamim La'akar Davar Min HaTorah B'sheva Al Pasach, that Chazal have the ability to override Torah law when it's passive. So, for example, to tell you not to blow shofar on Shabbos, when Shabbos falls out, when Shana falls out on Shabbos, so they can do that. But they don't do active violations of Torah law. They don't tell you to eat treif, they don't tell you to mokal Shabbos. But there was an opinion in the Gemara that they could do even that, that yesh koach l'akar b'kum v'aseh, that the rabbis can actively uproot the Torah. So the Ksos says that maybe midrabanan, when it's something that's important enough to Klal Yisrael, the rabbis could even be oker davar min haTorah. Maybe shlichus ayahu is midrabanan, but for something like geirus, which mentioned, we have a pasuk indicating that geirus has to be possible in all generations, so we have to have a way to be able to do geirus, or let's say to be kofan gittin when necessary. So Chazal are able to go so far as to even be oker davar min haTorah and to allow a mechanism such as shlichus ayahu to function without the Bezdin Smuchim min haTorah. So that's a fascinating range there, that essentially what it comes out to is that the Nesivus is telling you shlichus ayahu creates the reality that you have a fully functioning Bezdin, that our Bat Din of three are the same thing in terms of the stature where Chazal allow it. They have the same stature as Bezdin Smukim. While the Ksos would say, no, our Dayanim nowadays are only Dayanim on a level Midrabanan. They're only functioning on a level Midrabanan, but it's okay because basically they're Paskin and Shiloh. So the same way you have any other Shiloh, you could go to one rug and have a paskin. So too are contemporary Bat Din They're only batei din on the level of midrabanan, but they're passing shaylos like every other rav, so that's not necessarily such a problem. So this has other applications, some of which maybe we'll add in tomorrow, just to give you one example now. But let's say, for example, some of the halachos that we find that are associated with dayanim on the level of Minhag Torah. Are those halachos always carried over the chumrah to a contemporary Beis Din? So, for example, says the Ktzos in Siman Zayin, that we have a psul of suma, somebody who's blind, is not kosher to be on the Beis Din. So says the Ktzos, that's not true nowadays. Because nowadays we're not dealing with dayanim on a level of Minhag Torah, they're going to have all of these exemptions. We're basically just paskening shaylas in a pseudo Beis Din kind of format. So, the same way, you could ask a shayla of a rav who's a suma, so too, you could have a dayan on the Beis Din as a suma as well. While the Nesivah says no, the Nesivah says that Shittus Ayinu creates this reality that our batei din are function fully on a level of Minhag Torah. And therefore, if there's a psul suma, it should apply nowadays as well in the context of shlichus ayin.
How would that affect other people who would be psul to be a dayan on a level in a Torah?
Oh, so that's a good question. So that's going to also, we'll get into some more examples tomorrow, but there's kind of a ripple effect that once you establish that shlichus ayin is going to create this Minhag Torah status, it could have all kinds of other implications, or not. If you believe that it's not functioning like that, then that could also have implications, which we'll mostly get into tomorrow. But what we see is that all of this ties into the central issue, that the question of whether one dying could be kosher on a level of Minhag Torah or not prompts the question of what's the reason nowadays to have three. Right? Is three there for the purposes of kfiya? Is three there in order to fulfill the directive of Tzedek Tishbot HaMisecha, that the Mishpat should be a function of Tzedek, that we should actually get the results we're trying to get? Or should we say that no, three is fundamental to the process, that somehow you don't really have a Diyan, you don't really have a Beis Din at all with less than three? And all of that's going to connect to what is Shlichus Ayinu doing, and Shlichus Ayinu allowing the whole definition of Beis Din to be transmitted into a modern non-smuchim context? Or do we say that no, that Shlichus Ayinu isn't really necessary for that, because you can paskin shaylos anyway, and just Shlichus Ayinu is there to accomplish other things, such as the kfiya role? Okay, so then we'll just quickly try to review, and then we'll continue a little bit tomorrow and see how this will shed light on what we'll try to accomplish tomorrow, is basically see how this sheds light on other aspects of what Shlichus Ayinu is all about, again, to fulfill your wishes to hear more about Shlichus Ayinu, and also to address a little bit more what are some of the ramifications of a contemporary Beis Din, either differing or not differing from a classical Beis Din Minhag Torah, and what exactly is accomplished by having a Beis Din of three. Why do we need a Beis Din of three? Why do we need a Beis Din of three for Geirus? Why do we need a Beis Din of three for any other purpose? All of this, God willing, we'll try to fill in tomorrow. So again, just to highlight some of the key points. So we talked about how the Gemara has this tliya, that if you believe that you only need one Beis Din Minhag Torah, so for the Evet should be okay with two as well. But the Rambam, and possibly the Shulchan Aruch, split that the Rambam says you only need one Minhag Torah, but two is no good. So we saw that the Rishon questioned about that, and we saw basically two approaches, that the Ran says that the Rambam differs from the Gemara, assuming the Takana is a Takana that's Ma'akev to the Evet. We talked a little bit about the mechanics of that. And then we talked also about the Arsameyachs, interesting approach, that the whole concern is that Rav Acha, and this is also an issue we'll have to fill in a bit tomorrow as well, that Rav Acha is okay with one, but that one has to be a Samuch, and therefore we need Shlichus Sayyu in order to function at all, even according to Rav Acha. So his point is that the Takana of three is so that we should get Shlichus Sayyu, which Kronos is a reference to far-flung places outside of Eretz Yisrael where there's no smukim, and you need three there because A, it has to be that for Shlichus Sayyu purposes, and that also requires us getting at least one person on the panel who has some idea what he's doing, and that's how he reads the Gemara. Then we got from there to the question of what Shlichus Sayyu does, and the question of whether Shlichus Sayyu is a din haTorah or a din midrabanan, the question of whether it's needed to create the whole ability to be done in the first place, or is it just there for the purposes of kfiyah, like the Ktzos was leaning? Is it effective so that, let's say, you have a hodah in their presence? So according to the Ktzos, the Hodah doesn't have any status as far as, let's say, Modim Mitzvahs, and as far as the Nesivos is concerned, no, that's the whole point, otherwise things will just go flipping back and forth. And we talked also about how that's going to have a ripple effect towards various other dinim, such as the question of whether a psul such as Suma is going to apply under the circumstances of a contemporary Beis Din. Do we say we're only being done the level Midrabanan, or do we say that it's effective fully, and therefore someone like this is going to apply as well. Okay, any questions? Is that basically clear? Okay, so we'll set up. So raise your hand if you're staying. Okay, so you're coming back? Okay, so hopefully we have enough.